Let us pray. Eternal God, Mother, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are beyond our understanding, yet you come to us in the word that blesses us. You live in us in the spirit that renews us. In your grace, you invite us into the dance of your love. Speak to us now that our hearts may dance with yours. In the name of Christ and the grace of your Holy Spirit. Amen. A reading from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. I, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. Hear the word of God for the people of God.
Listen for the good news, the living word of God, as you hear the good news from John's Gospel in the 14th chapter. Jesus said, those who love me will keep my commandments, and I will ask my Abba God, who will send you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth that the world cannot receive, because the world does not see or know the Spirit, but you know the Spirit, because the Spirit abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. In a little while, I will come to you. The world will not see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day you will know that I am in my Abba God, and you are in me, and I am in you. If you love me, you will keep the word that I have given you. And my Abba God will love you, and we will come and make our home with you. The Gospel of the Beloved, Jesus Christ. Happy Abba's Day. Jesus called God, in most of our translations, Father, but that word Abba doesn't really mean Father. It's not that formal. It's more like Papa or Daddy. I saw a Papa and his son in a park. There was this big circular grassy area surrounded by a garden, and there was this guy with a little, like, one-year-old boy who was just learning to walk. And the little boy was tottering along, wobbling the way a little one-year-old just learning to walk would do. And he had it in his mind to explore that entire circle. And Dad was walking along, holding on his hand. The little kid was hanging onto one finger, wobbling along. And the dad was sort of walking sideways and backwards, whatever it took to walk his little guy along. I looked around the park, and there were people who were walking with purpose to where they were going, and there were people who were ambling, and there were people who were sitting alone or in pairs. I looked back, and that guy and his son weren't there. They had made quite a bit of progress. They were way over on the other side, working along. I realized it had been a while since I'd looked at them, and it was clear that that little boy was going to go as far as he could, and nothing could stop him. And the dad was going to go with him all the way one little wobbly step at a time. And it seemed so clear in that moment that they weren't two separate people. It was like they were a unit. Neither one of them would have been doing what they were doing without the other. In fact, even though it looked like there were not only two, but maybe one, it seemed like there were three. There was the Father and the Son, and there was the love they had that was almost like a third person there. There was such delight on both their faces. It was so fun to watch these three, the Father and the Son, and the love that went zooming back and forth between them. That's the Trinity. The Holy Trinity is not this doctrine that says that God is two men and a bird. It's an image. It's an icon. It's a piece of imagination that said, this is what God is like. God is like a lover and the beloved and the love that flows between them. And as soon as you think you've got it pinned down, you're wrong. Because it's all dynamic. It's all moving. It's a way of saying God isn't a guy who has relationships with us. God is relationship. Wherever there is relationship, that is God. There is this infinite, eternal creator of all things in which the entire universe is just a small bit. There is that isness of God. And at the same time, there is this companion who walks with us, intimate partner, who calls us by name, who knows all of our struggles, who shares all of our sorrows. And at the same time, there is this other spirit that's within us that we get to create. Whenever you love somebody, you bring God to life. Whenever you reach out and establish a relationship with somebody, whether it's a deep, long relationship or just a momentary act of kindness with a stranger, just smile at somebody passing by, you create God. You make a relationship happen that wouldn't happen otherwise. And God gives us that power. It's impossible to imagine God being all three of those things at once. And that's part of what the Trinity is all about. That we can't imagine it. It's beyond our imagining. We just have to take it. It's not about doctrine. It's about delight. That picture on the cover of the bulletin is a modern reproduction of Rublev's icon. The original is pretty splotchy and faded. It portrays the three angelic visitors who came to Abraham and Sarah to tell them they're going to have a baby. And it's also the Trinity. And the fun thing is, when you look at that, you will waste a lot of time trying to figure out if this is the Trinity, which one's the Father and which one's the Son and which one's the Holy Spirit. Because there's no difference. Just because they are different people doesn't mean that they're different. What you notice is the connection. What you notice is the similarities. What you notice is the tenderness with which they look at each other. The way they're in it together. Kind of like that father and son in the park were in it together as long as it took to get around that circle. So if we believe that God is ultimately not just a guy, but a family, that God is relationship. So the big theological question is always, so what? So what difference does that make in our life, in our faith? Two things come to mind. One is that if you really believe in a God who's like that, then you know you are never alone. You can't be other than where God is. Because we're inside God. It's like you can't be outside the universe. If you went somewhere that was outside the universe, you would be there. And because you're part of the universe, that would mean that the universe would be there too. You're still in the universe. We are inside God. And you can't be away from God, far from God. We can feel that way. But that's why God is also the intimate partner who walks with us. The one who knows us. You can never be alone. You can feel alone. You cannot feel that intimate presence. But then you feel something else, don't you? You feel the longing. You feel the sadness. That's also God. Because it's God longing for you to feel the presence of God that's in you. Even the sadness, even that feeling of the absence of God is the presence of God. So we know that we're never alone. If that's true, we also know something else. That we are never meant to be alone from other people. We're called to be in connection with them, in communion with them. We spend so much of our lives in these little self-imposed prisons of this small little circle of people that we care about, things that matter to us. That's one of the reasons that Jesus destroyed the notion of family. In this culture, there was nothing more important than family. It was more important than God. It was the highest value. And yet when people come and say, "Hey, Jesus, your family's outside. They're looking for you." Jesus totally dismisses them and says, "Who's my family? Whoever listens to the word of God and follows, that's my family." Now, to us, that sounds pretty warm and lovely. In Jesus' culture, that would have been a huge slap in the face to his mother and his family to say, it's not so much that you're not special, but everybody else is just as special as you are. But, you know, we live in this world in which we want some people to be less special. There's some people who matter the most to us, and other people, they don't. I was reading an article recently by a woman who was having a conversation with a relative, I think it was an aunt or something, and they were talking about all of these people out there who are suffering, and the aunt said to her, "Well, it just really, I don't care because it doesn't affect me." And the more they talked, the more it became clear that that was the way it was supposed to be. That her aunt felt bad for her, that she felt all of this, and she couldn't quite think of the word, and the woman said, "You mean responsibility for all those people who are out there?" And her aunt said, "Yeah. It must be bad that you feel all those feelings about those people that you can't do anything about." And she realized that her aunt lived in this tiny little world in which she actually knew and could affirm that what was happening to those families at the border is awful. But she didn't care because it didn't affect her. And she probably thought of that as freedom. But the woman who wrote the article realized in talking with her that what that meant was an utter, despairing imprisonment in this tiny, little, solitary confinement in which the rest of the world was not able to enter. Well, to some degree, we're all like that. To some degree, we want to forget that we're connected with everybody. That everybody's joy is our joy. Everybody's suffering is our suffering. That's why there's a church. People who say, "Well, my faith is between me and God," strictly speaking, they are not Christian. You can't believe in the God of Christ all by yourself. Because the God of Christ, by definition, is the God who includes everybody. A God who doesn't include everybody isn't the God of Jesus. That's somebody else's God. It's not the God of the one who said, "I am in my Abba and you are in me and I am in you and we are all in it together." The invitation is to continually expand our belonging. To continue to notice how we are connected with everybody. To continue to fight against that little bubble that we all have that says, these are the people I care about, these are the people I'm connected with, and those people, I don't really have to connect with them so much because we're not connected. I don't have to care. to fight that instinct to be in solitary confinement. That's why we have church, to practice being a body together. And every time we do that, that is the Holy Trinity alive and well. When somebody's hurting and we pray for them, that's the Holy Trinity at work at St. Matthew's. When somebody's going through a hard time and you bring them a casserole, that's the Holy Trinity at work. When somebody needs a ride, you give them a ride to church. When you show up at the food bank or the Seafarers Ministry or the Habitat Build or wherever it is that you show up, that's the Holy Trinity at work. It's not a doctrine in a book somewhere. It's in our lives. And the wonderful thing is that as much as sometimes it feels like a lot of work to connect with all these people, we forget that in Christ, to give is to receive. Sometimes we can feel so much like we Christians are the ones with all the gifts and we'll help all those poor people who need us. And we forget that as much as anything, it's the other way around. Remember that father with his son in the park? It might have looked like daddy was just helping his son do this thing, sort of wasting his time, walking backwards with this little one-year-old. Oh, no, 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 no. That father was in heaven. He was having the best day of his life. You could see it. He was just so happy talking with his kid. And imagine if that had been taken away from them. How sad he would have been. When we really connect with one another at a deep level, it's always a gift. Even when the others are going through a hard time. Because that's when we most profoundly experience this mystery. That you are not alone. You can't be. And even if we're sharing the journey with somebody who's hurting or struggling, that experience is always redeeming and life-giving and full of delight. It's a gift. This holy mystery, this three in one that we are given. It's like you are the fourth member of the Trinity. Don't try to figure it out. Just enjoy the walk in the park. Will you pray with me? God, we thank you for the love you give us. And we open our hearts to share that love with all of your beloved, with those who suffer, those who struggle, those who are rejected, condemned. Because in them we receive your love. Help us to reach out, to be in it together with you. God, we thank you for your love. And we pray for the faith to receive your blessings, to be mindful of your presence, and to listen for your voice, and for the courage to trust your deep desire for us, surrendering everything to your love, to live in harmony with your grace. Amen.